the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now, I just want to read something here to explain a principle to us again, as continue where we began from last week, talking about how to increase your faith as part of our Faith Basics series. Let me just start from verse 1, all right? Let's just start from verse 1. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord who will cross ahead of you. He said, he will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. Now you notice something, that God has gone to cross ahead of them, but God now gave a word that Joshua will cross ahead of you. That is, Joshua is going to do the work of God in their midst. Now I wanted to just quickly jump down to what Moses said to Joshua in verse 7. He said, then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with these people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. Please, I want you to notice something here, that Moses was giving Joshua a commandment concerning what his life is supposed to be. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, please, I want you to notice that very carefully. Now, quickly, let's go back to where we were, the book of Galatians chapter 5. Open your Bibles again to the book of Galatians chapter 5. All right, I'm going to start from verse 16. And then I'll jump a number of verses and go to the main thing that we want to read. The book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Please just quickly jump down to verse 22. In contrast to the fruit of the work of the flesh, it said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now let me just stop there and begin to say what I want to say. The Lord is good. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen. Well, I'm talking about this faith basics matter to lay the foundations for our faith. And last time I began to talk about how to increase your faith. And let me just reiterate something I said last time, because it is so important. And that's the fact that everything we desire in life is what? A fruit, rather than what? The seed. That is, what we do in life is that, what I mean by rather than a seed is that, a seed is what you have control over. Fruit is what you don't have control over. That's how our life is. We read from, that's a book of Genesis. It said, why the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. And that's how it is. Life, your life is in seasons. There are seasons in which you sow your seed, and there are seasons in which you reap your harvest. And let me explain this to you again. You cannot stop the harvest. Are you getting my point? What did I say? You can't. The harvest is going to come. And if it's a negative thing, it's going to affect you. If it's a positive thing, it's going to affect you. But you have control over the seed. The only control you have over life is the control you have over the seed that you are sowing. That's all. You can't just behave anyhow. And later on in life, when the repercussion will come, you will now say, why me? It doesn't work, all right? You have to be careful as people in life to sow the right seeds. Everything you do in life, all right, is a seed. But everything that does you, you know what I'm saying? You do something, there's something will now do you in return. That one is a fruit. Are you getting what I'm saying? And in this light, I brought that one up to bring up the issue of faith, how to increase your faith. I said, I discussed it in that book extensively, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Great faith is a manifestation. Let me put it like this. It's an impartation of the Spirit of God into your life. The great faith that you desire is that God will breathe the ability to believe, all right, into you. When I wrote that book, it was to explain the concept of the ability to believe. Are you getting my point? God can make some people hard of heart so that they will not be able to believe. That was what he did to Pharaoh. Are you getting my point? He did that to Pharaoh. He said, he told Moses, no matter what you do, that fellow is not going to believe. I have hardened his heart. Now, you know, as a young man, when I read it, I wondered about the justice, all right? The righteousness inside that thing. How can you harden somebody's heart that he shouldn't believe, and you go ahead calling out that men should believe? In fact, he said concerning Isaiah, let me send you on an assignment. And the first assignment he gave Isaiah was to go and deaden the ears of the people and go and make their hearts dull so that they will see and not understand. They will hear, they will not be able to interpret what they are hearing. Are you getting my point? That is, God does that. And I used to wonder, why will you do that? Listen, it's because life is a matter of seed and harvest. He was doing that as a harvest for the seeds that they sowed. Are you getting my point? Pharaoh sowed seeds that God said the product of this seed that you have sown is that you will never be able to believe. It's not as if God didn't want him to believe. And Pharaoh was elevated to that level so that he will do the will of God concerning unrighteousness. I don't know what they go on this thing. That is, he will do something that will annoy God. God, look, listen, let me say it to you again. For those who don't understand the sovereignty of God, they misjudge God's actions. God is not lawless. He may be sovereign, he's not lawless. Lawlessness and sovereignty are not the same thing. What did I say? Lawlessness and sovereignty, they are two totally different things. If God just wakes up in the morning and says, you will not believe, that's lawlessness. You will believe. That's lawlessness. You will be a good person. Meanwhile, you will be bad. And he just allocates wickedness and righteousness and holiness and, you know, what's the opposite of holiness? And whatever it is. Unholiness, all right? He just allocates it at random like that to whosoever comes first. That wouldn't be right. I told you before, one of the things that made Charles Finney a celebrated revivalist was because he was preaching to people what I'm telling you now. Before then, people said that God can make anybody believe and make them unbelievers, and that it's just a matter of the election of God. And he said, then where is justice in which God can punish you for rejecting the gospel if he made it impossible for you to accept it? But the fact is that a lot of things that we are dealing with are fruits. And fruits come on you. That's why I say you will do something and then something will do you after. Fruits come on you. Seeds are the things that you can sow. Are you getting the point? Seeds are the things you can sow. You cannot stop the harvest when the time will come. God is the one that ministers the harvest. He said, I planted, Paul was speaking. Apollos watered, but God did what? God gave the increase. That's the way it is. God ministers this in the harvest. You can't stop that. Alright? So, when it comes to even working with God, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. When it comes to pleasing God, when it comes to doing great exploits for God, listen to me, it's a matter of a manifestation of the Spirit of God or the fruit of God in your life. I said something last time, let me say it again so that we'll remember it and understand it better. That he said in Galatians 5:22 here, that there's a fruit of the Spirit. I said that doesn't mean like we used to think that you see the human spirit has a fruit. No, listen, if you look at the concept, fruit is not the human spirit. That life has fields. He said in Galatians chapter 6, you can sow to your flesh, that's a field. Do you follow my point? Or you can sow into the Spirit, that's another field. And wherever you sow into decides the kind of thing that you bring forth. So he said, if you sow into the Spirit, the fruit of sowing into the Spirit is what? Is love. Bear that in mind. I'm not having an issue. Love and other things, of course. Now, this is what I'm trying to bring out. So we found that the Christian walk, I've said this in several times, and that's what I teach about grace. Grace is when God does his work, including the work of obedience in your life, when you have done the small things he put within your powers to do. Are you getting my point? Listen, this is how God is. He wants you to do a great thing. And what he would do is that he will prepare the ability to do a great thing for you. Let me say that again. God wants you to move a mountain. Then he will arrange Julius Berger to be ready to mobilize the mountain and say you are the one that will move the mountain. Are you getting my point? But he won't tell you about Julius Berger. He'll just say, you, go and move that mountain. That is a commandment over your life. Please, listen to what I'm saying carefully. That will be the commandment over your life. Then he has Julius Berger and Cetraco combined, waiting to help you shift the mountain. Now, what will activate the movement of Julius Berger? What is it that will activate the movement, all right, also of Cetraco. That is what is called obedience. I'm calling obedience in small things. The movement of Julius Berger and Cetraco is the grace of God. Are you getting my point? So that when the mountain will have moved, they won't say Julius Berger moved it. They won't say Cetraco moved it. They will say you moved the mountain. But before God releases the power of those construction giants in your favor, he will give you a small job to do. For example, he said, dial this number. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, who's on the other end? He said, it's one gate man somewhere. He said, I need people to move mountains. But you don't understand. He has located that man at the appropriate place to give information to the men waiting to move. So this is what happens. When a man dials the number as God has commanded. All right? So God will say, dial that number. You dial the number and say, hello. All right, God bless you, thank you. And you hang up. Then you start moving to where the mountain is supposed to move. You will get there and discover all the caterpillars, all the earth moving machines, all the LT-1000, what do you call it? Lutono machine, you know, they have this heavy equipment, LT-1000, they're all waiting. So when the mountain has moved, you will say, I am what I am by the grace of God, a mover of mountains. But before God releases the power to move the mountain, you must obey him in something as small as making that phone call. Have I explained anything? I hope you understood what I'm saying. So this is how Christian life is. You've heard the story. A man left everything. He was a multi-millionaire and decided he was going to be a missionary somewhere far away. And you look at the job you have right now. Look at your father. You look at your mother. You look at your wife and your children. And say, in all honesty, I'm not going anywhere. Not as if you are rebellious, but you wonder at the greatness of the faith of a man who could abandon those things and go and do the will of God. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Now, that greatness of faith is what I am telling you. It's not the struggle of that man. It is God that poured the power of Julius Berger and Cetraco into him that he was able to look beyond the things that look like they are mountains for people, and then he'll go ahead and obey God. This is what I'm making. Before you get to that level, let me put it on that way. Don't worry about getting to that level. That's what I'm saying. Worry about knowing the phone calls you are supposed to make when God says make them. I don't know what I hear. No, did you really understand?
Yes.
If you don't, I'll go by it again. No, that's my job. I'm supposed to be teaching. Christian work is like that. I need to explain that principle again. What we do is constantly sow the right seeds. And last time I began talking about the matter of love. I said something and I want to say it in another way. We're still saying the same thing, but I want to go through another way. Have we read from that, Deuteronomy chapter 31? Yes, okay, thank you very much. I'm happy, yeah, I remember now, we read it. Now, why did I read that? I wanted to notice what I want to explain today. If you notice, go back there, just go back there. A Christian walk is not struggle, believe me. If you do what is right, those are the seeds. You will discover the power to do great things will flow into you automatically. You will discover great things being done, and you are not the one struggling to do them. You will discover great things happening in your life, and you people will be wondering, say, this man is great, he's done so much. I was preaching somewhere today, I said, God can do far above that which you can ever ask or imagine. I said that if your imagination, listen to this, is to preach the gospel all over Nigeria, God will make sure you preach all over Africa. That's the least he will do. If your imagination is to preach the gospel all over Africa, God will make sure you can preach all over the world. That's the least he will do. He said, what about if my imagination, which is not difficult these days, is to preach it all over the world? Then God will do to you what he did to Paul. You know what he did to Paul? Paul preached all over the world that he knew, but he did not preach it over time. I don't know what I get my point. He preached it while he was alive. Then God now made sure that the gospel is still being preached 2,000 years after Paul had left, using the letters of Paul. Listen, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ever ask or imagine. Anything in life that you have ever imagined, just know that that is the starting point concerning what God wants to do in your life. Do you get my point? And what I'm preaching again is this. Listen, don't worry about how will I do it. Only concern yourself with what has it given me today to do. Do you understand my point? Listen, Paul never built any printing press. You know that? Did he ever build any printing press? Listen, Paul did not write a Bible. It's you and I that now call it a Bible. Paul did not consider what he was writing, in quotes, the word of God, the way you and I look at it now. He saw it as letters. You know, like I've written a book. I've written several books. They're just books, teachings. And like I told you, choice is key to destiny. I wrote it and gave it to the young woman who I was going to marry. That's my wife. Are you getting my point? Paul wrote letters just like that. So we can't go to Rome, so let us write to them. We can't go to Corinth, let us write to them. Then some of the things that he wrote, he knew they were so important. He said, make sure that you circulate the letters to all the churches. You guys finish reading, send to the next church. And that was all that concerned him. Years later, men gathered the letters, dusted them, compiled them, and started printing hundreds of millions of copies. Do you get my point? Do you know how many billions of Bibles that we have printed? That's God doing beyond what Paul ever imagined. Please, do you get what I'm saying? You can't accomplish the work of God in your life by strength. Listen, if you are too strong, you must fail first. That's God for you. Strong men must fail before God can use them. So if you have failed, be happy. You have been spared the troubles of tomorrow. When you see strong people, cry for them. Do you get my point? If you see somebody who is currently strong, just cry for him. Because a strong man must fail first before God can use him. You have tried 2-3 businesses that collapsed. It's a good sign. Oh my God. It's a good sign. If you never wanted to give up in life, you have not started working with God yet. Believe what I'm saying. If a time came in which you got tired and wanted to give up, good. You've started. Men who have never wanted to give up, forget all the noise they are making. Either they are lying or they are not yet there yet. A lot of people don't know how to tell the truth. Not because they are wicked, but they easily forget. I like the way my pastor used to say this in Lagos. He says, success is so powerful, it erases the memory of failure. When you have succeeded so much, you won't remember. God had to give the Israelites commandments concerning how to remember their troubles. People who are living in peace, you say, sacrifice an animal, eat it in a hurry. So he said, why should we eat in a hurry? He said, because one day your children will ask you, why are we not eating this food at rest? He said, then you will tell them, our fathers were slaves in Egypt. Then one night, God delivered them by a mighty hand. And this was exactly how they ate the Passover. Are you getting my point? Listen, strong men collapse first. You know, when I recommend books, only my enemies don't read them. I'm happy 90% of the books I recommend here, I did not write. And we don't sell. But at least I can point to where you can read them, buy them. I've recommended to you The Happiest People on Earth by Damon Shakarian, haven't I? The Happiest People on Earth. Read this. You will learn lessons of life. Believe me. You know, when I counsel people, once they start telling the story, I start laughing. This is a story I read in this book. You know, there's nothing new on this Ezo. A woman came to see me last week, and as she began to tell her story, I started laughing. I said, that's the story they tell everybody, everywhere. And I keep on telling you, this is how you can help other people. She went, they said, your problem is that your father dedicated you or your mother to a god. You are a witch in the realm of the spirit. You have spirit husband and you have spirit children. How can you go for marriage and you are not aware? In every marriage, there must be what? A vow. I take the Mami Water Spirit to be my lawful wedded wife. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, look, when you are, how can you marry and you are not aware? You know, I've told you before, all these preachers that go around fooling people, it's food they are looking for. It's hunger. I'm telling you, tell the guy, don't bother prophesying. Here's an offering. Don't bother with the prophecy. Just take the offering and go. Before, by the time you finish, I said, this story, I've heard it before. This is not the first time. I've heard the story again and again and again. And it's the same thing. Don't let them confuse you. They say it wherever you came from. They say it in Enugu. They say it in Lagos. They say it in Abuja. They even say it in London. Nobody Nigerians did it. They've exported all their bad habits. What I'm saying is that if you read a lot, there are so many things in life that won't harass you. Today, in fact, the lady told me that they said that she swim in her dream. As anybody that doesn't swim in the dream has never seen a swimming pool. That's all. If you have never swum in your dream, you've not seen a swimming pool. You hate swimming. Anybody who has ever longed for swimming will swim in the dream. I told them while I was preaching today, they said, do you fly in your dream? As anybody who flies in the dream is mounting up with wings like an eagle. It's a spiritual way to move. All right, anyway, that's just my idea. I'm just telling you that if you read, look, nobody will be able to confuse you. I see a lot of preachers going around town now, feeling very happy and airy with themselves, like as if they smoke Igbo and cocaine together. Yeah, look, what's your problem? People did this 50 years ago, they are dead. They didn't profit by it. So what are you trying to do to us? Turn yourself into an apostle of economics, making money here and there, collecting cut from offering that you raise. You will die early. That's the judgment. Go and read, go and read. If you read enough, people like that don't live long. There's a limit to which God can tolerate using his name anyhow. After a while, you just vex, slap somebody, and God slap, they hurt. Believe me. When he slap, you know, it'll be like a cartoon. Your head could move around, around, around in circles. That's just by the way, anyway. So read. That's what I'm trying to say. Read. Read. There are mistakes you won't make if you read. If you're a preacher, God's generous, you must have read it. You must, so that you don't make the mistakes of the other people. Listen, nobody was born with intelligence and information. It's after we are born that we acquire them. Are you getting my point? You want to succeed in life, you must fill your head with information from God. That's how it works. And it doesn't come in the place of prayer. If these people are always praying, 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 they know they read anything. Just know they are confused. They are confused people. Their prayer will have answers, but they would not succeed in life. That's the way it works. Cornelius, pray, pray, pray. What did the angel say? Go and call somebody who will give you information. Is that not so? That's how God does things. He doesn't like revealing things to everybody. Once he tells one person, he expects to tell the other person. He will tell the other person something else, and he will tell you. The Lord is good. I have digressed again. It's my character. Anyway, it's a Saturday. I always say, you know, Saturday meetings, I like them because we say all kinds of things. Anyway, let me get back to the meeting we're saying. Where did I go? When I'm talking about, you should read the book, have you? Happiest Book on Earth. Go and read that book. Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International is spread all over the world now. The day it began to spread was the very day Demos Shakarian gave up. He had labored and labored. Go and read that book. I don't have to tell you all the stories. I'm not a storyteller. I'm a preacher. He had labored and labored and labored. So finally, his most committed associate told him, by tomorrow, if nothing changes, I'm going. Demos Shakarian said, I know they will do it again. It was that night the Holy Spirit now came, took the whole thing over. And Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International began to spread worldwide. Are you getting the point I'm making? Grace, that's how it works. Look, God, that's why he did not bless Esau. That's why he blessed Jacob. Anyone who recognizes that without God I can't do anything is the one that God will bless. Anyone that thinks he has too much strength and too much sense, he will fail permanently. But anyone who wants to succeed by grace but has not yet learned the lesson, what God does is that he allows you to fail properly. Listen, if you fail once, it's a very good time to God, don't get discouraged. What did I say? Don't get discouraged. Don't. When I say don't get discouraged, you'll be discouraged naturally, but you must fight that discouragement. And you fail twice doesn't mean that God didn't send you there. It just means that you are going with your own strength and doesn't ever work. Moses is our case in point, right? We are studying him right now. Moses, what happened to him? He knew he was going to deliver Israel. So he came out and started using strong arm tactics, militancy. God ensured that that one did not work. They drove him away. When God said, go back, he said, I'm not going. That was what God was waiting for. If he had said, God, are you ready? Finally, let us go now. God would say, this will cause trouble again. He's about to spoil everything. But God said, let us go. He said, wait. I'm not sure. You know, I'm old now. I need to find some younger boys. God said, very nice. I like this kind of person. He knows how to turn to God. That's what God likes. People who don't have strength in themselves, they're always praying about things. They're always asking God, always receiving instruction from above. That's the way they do their things. Do you get my point? That's what Christians are. That's what the Bible calls grace. Maybe you left school, you had the first class, you know everybody, and God really wants to use you. He will make sure your father, with all the connection he has, can't get you a job. The one he gets you, they sack you after 1 year for the fact that you did nothing. Your guy will travel, they send you abroad. Volcano will erupt in Iceland, and he will be angry I didn't come back. And you'll be explaining to him, sir, planes were not flying. He said, you're a useless boy. You think because your father knows people. You'll be looking like this. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's sacking you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What I'm explaining is that God, all right, he works by what? Grace. And grace is that power that he releases to get results in our lives when we obey him in small matters. Those small matters are the kind of things that anybody can obey him in. Do you get the point? Do you get the point? So as Christians, what do? We go for how to sow our proper seeds, and then we'll discover victory and success in life will come to us as a natural consequence of having sown proper seeds and the fruits be ministered by the power and the grace of God. So Moses said to Joshua, now this is among the things I want us to understand, you know, talking about our faith, the foundations of faith. The one that I'm bringing out today, you know, last time I talked about love, Christians learning how to walk in love. I didn't discuss it in details. I'll probably come back to it later. But as I was thinking, I said, let me just quickly get back. I said last week that I'm going to talk about the matter of purpose for life as believers, all right? Now, as I was thinking, I realized that it would be good to start it now because it actually weaves together. One of the first seminars I did in this under the name of this ministry was on the real faith. I said the foundation for success in life. And when I talked about the real faith, all right, what I was trying to explain is to differentiate that faith from what Christians commonly call faith. Please, I want you to follow me what I'm saying. I'm not going to read too many scriptures. I'm just going to talk to you, all right? I'll refer to Bible, the scriptures here and there. What we commonly call faith is actually not what God calls faith. Let me explain what I mean. A man wants, let's say, a tie, all right? I see Jonathan's tie, I like it. So I focus on Jonathan's tie and burn the image of Jonathan's tie in my mind. And I wake up in the morning and I start repeating, that tie, beautiful tie, is red. It has spots. Oh, beautiful. Jonathan's tie, amen. In Jesus' name, you know, I'm thinking. And I said, they say, ask. Okay, Father God, right now, I ask you for that tie. Amen, right, spotted. Describe it. It is 17 inches long. I don't know how long your tie is, all right? Just imagine. I'm just describing it. And they said that's how faith works. You keep confessing. You keep confessing. You keep confessing. So I go there and say, hey, all right, that tie, I receive it. After a month or two or three or four or maybe 1 year, I finally receive a tie that looks like Jonathan's own. And I say, praise God. My faith works. Listen to what I want to tell you. It's arrant nonsense. That's not faith. That is Egyptian casting down rods that's becoming snakes. Those are basic spiritual principles. It's not faith. Listen to me. The babalawo in the village, he knows that one. If he's really learned. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a basic spiritual principle. It's like saying, how do we break a rock that is hard? We take a steel hammer and we hammer it every day. We keep hammering it. Amen. Praise God. And we keep hammering it. Oh boy, if you hammer it like that after 1 week, it will crack. Do you have faith? No. That has nothing to do with faith. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Let's forget Tom, Dick, and Harry. This is Nigeria. Every Emeka, Nnamdi, and Olakunle can do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Do you know why? That is not faith. Listen. That is the power of the human soul. That's how God created us to be. If I want something to make noise here, I don't need faith. You know what I mean? I just carry something, throw it up like a bottle. It hits the floor, it shatters. Is that faith? I just know how gravity works and the breakability of bottles. That's all. We have to be careful that, see, spiritualism and spirituality are two different things. I picked the word spiritualism from reading John G. Lake's books, all right? Spiritualism and spirituality, these are my expressions now, are two different things. Why did I say? They are totally different. The spiritual realm exists, I've said this into us several times, just like the physical realm exists. And a man that learns to appraise his spiritual realm is not necessarily a man that's spiritual in the way the Bible talks about spirituality. Gillick told a story. He said, as a young boy, I read one of his books. He said, as a young boy, he followed his father to an office. When he entered the office was so beautiful. He had rocks so thick you think you are falling through the floor. The man, you know, maybe Nigerians don't respect things like this, you know. This is our pulpit. Americans will respect this. It's pure mahogany. That's real mahogany, you know. So this table was made of pure mahogany. And what they call mother of pearl, the man's name was written John McCall. They went into that office in a private elevator. Said the office was beautiful. And as a young boy, he looked at it and he desired it. And he never told anybody about it. One day, some of his friends, he was 30-something then, they gathered to start a business and they wanted him to head the business. After several days of negotiation, they finally said to him, "We have agreed to your terms. Let us show you." He said, "We have a surprise for you." And they took him to an office. The office was an exact replica of the office he saw 20-something years ago. The only difference that instead of John McCall, the name was John G. Lake, his own name. That was the only difference. The same kind of office, the same kind of table, the same kind of rug, everything identical. Then he realized that deep inside his soul, he had called that office to be. And listen to me, he did not even think it was a matter of Christianity because he wasn't a Christian when he saw the office. Let me tell you something. One of the things I've learned these days, when I'm praying, I always look carefully to ask God, "Please, oh, I hope I'm not just being a mule." You know what the Bible calls a mule? Stubborn. An ass. Stubborn. That has, look, because you can stubbornly desire something from God and you will get it. That's why it doesn't excite me much when people just tell stories of how they got this or stories of how they got that. It doesn't excite me much. Because I want to see the foundation of the word of God. You can't practice spiritualism. Now, I'm not saying it's evil. Spiritualism is not evil. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying it's evil. It's just one of those things. You can stubbornly use spiritualism to get things. That's not faith. That's the point I'm trying to make. In the wilderness, these people called out to God in a grumbling fashion, and they got everything they wanted. I have seen people ask for certain kinds of wives and certain kinds of husbands, and they got exactly what they wanted. Oh, please, please, get what I'm saying. That's why I dropped the story long ago of write it on your wall. What height do you want her to be? I want her to be 5'10" or 11. Say, why? That's Pastor Banky's wife's height. All right, fine. If you like. You go and draw a photograph of my wife on your wall. You know the interesting thing? You will find a girl that's exactly like her, except that one will be a wicked soul. Why would she be a wicked soul? The reason is because when you go after what the Bible calls your lust, we always think lust is a bad thing. What's a lust? What's lust? Hey, he's a man of God and he's married and he has a girlfriend. We think that's lust. Listen, that's lust, amen? That's lust, amen? But listen, a hungry man, food can be his lust. What you think is legitimate, God can say that's his lust. What is wrong with asking for meat? But God called the meat they wanted lust. We look at lust as always sexual immorality and asking for too many things. Let me tell you what lust is. Lust is a material thing that without it, your soul won't be satisfied. That is lust. Look, listen. I know what I'm saying, though. I dropped that one longer picture because, you see, if you paint that picture there and you look at it long enough, by the spirit principles of spiritualism, you can draw that thing into your life. But you cannot forcefully draw God's blessing like that. It does not work. As I'm very careful, when I listen to messages, I try to decipher between spiritualism and spirituality. What do I mean by spirituality? Spirituality, that's what I want to discuss now about the real faith. Okay? Let me just talk about that real faith. Real faith is that I have forsaken every other thing and have thrown my confidence totally into God. I'm talking about faith basics. These are the fundamental things Christians should know. A lot of us these days, we go to church to learn how to get things. Many people are giving their lives to Christ because they heard that that is the way to get what they want. They say, if you don't have a house by the time you are 40, you are a failure. That is not in the Word of God. Okay? It's not in the Bible. So by the time you are 38, you never build. So they say, go to church, they will pray for you, anoint you, you will get a house. So when you get there, the pastor says, before I pray for you, you must give your life to Christ. So you put give you, you put up your hand now. Waiting, waiting. No be house will they find. So come forward. Say to me, say after me, Lord Jesus, I come into my life. Sorry, you come into my life forever. And after reciting the principles of faith. And of course, that's in those so a special seat towards the house. You came to church to look for what? House. You have not given your life to Christ. You haven't. You have not. You have not. God is a method. If you had money, you wouldn't come. Your problem is poverty. That's why you came. That's not giving your life to Christ. Jesus appeals to the rich and the poor. It's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. He appeals to everybody. If you see gospel that only poor people want it, listen, it's not balanced. Don't tell me that, it's not balanced. If it's balanced, if it's a true gospel, everybody will want it. Everybody. Please, I'm bringing that an issue, please. Please, all right? About the real faith. Real faith is not that one that people go to church to go and get things. Real faith is totally committing your life to Christ. Giving literally your life over to Christ. So that, this is what faith is. Listen, this is real faith. So that you want only what God says you can have. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So you are in the wilderness. If they bring chicken, say, I know they chop. Why? Because God has commanded that we should eat what? Manna. Some people say that there was garlic, there was onion, there were cucumbers in Egypt. You say, I don't want. Why? Because God has appointed for us what? Manna. Where would you like to live? I'm going to the promised land. Do you know how it is? I don't care. God said, are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a land that flows with milk and honey. And that's what he has appointed for me, being a descendant of Jacob. That my inheritance, all right, as a member of the tribe of Reuben, is over there. So I'm going to the inheritance that God appointed for me. That's what faith is. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Real faith, therefore, is realizing that having given your life to Christ, your life has a purpose. It's not to run riot with spirituality, claiming we are practicing faith. I've heard a lot of it. What you do is that you wake up in the morning, you confess, you confess, you confess. You write it on the wall. You look, look, look. That's spiritualism. That's not faith. Listen, the confession of a man of faith, hear what I'm saying. I said it before. The confession is not as to activate by force something that he's trying to get. The confession of a man of faith is an expression of knowledge. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. If my wife sits down and I point to her and say, he said, where's your wife? You know, I don't look. Praise God. My wife. Amen. My wife. Hallelujah. My wife. Amen. My wife. Do I do all of that? Where's your wife? You look. Okay, she's not around. Why? I know her. I know her. Do you get my point? Where's her? Okay, there she is. I just point and that's just it. I don't know, I drove home yesterday, was it this morning? As I was coming down, my daughter shouted from upstairs, Daddy, are you a father? I said, are you a daughter? What am I saying? I just utter. So okay, after she harassed me enough, okay? If you know children, you have to answer. You get to answer. So after a while, I said, listen, you're a daughter. If I'm your daddy, that makes me a father. You know, what I'm trying to say is that I wasn't confessing, I'm a father, hallelujah, I'm a father, I'm a father. Father, father, comfort, father. No. Are you a father? Simple, yes. Now me born you. Forget it, that's the end of it. That's the confession of faith. The confession of faith are what? Matters of what? Persuasion. Oh gosh. It's not as if we are trying to conjure up something. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus,
He said, Father, all this plenty talk is so that they will know you sent me. Otherwise, I will have come normally. Normally, the way I handle this, I come, I show up there. I just say to them, so I just shout, yeah, move that thing for me. Lazarus, that I don't have to raise my voice. It's not the intensity of the shout that brings forth Lazarus, because at that point, Lazarus was physically deaf. It was a call in the spirit. If you had just whispered at the door, Lazarus. Lazarus will have comfort. Do you know what I'm saying? All the shout is, he said it himself. All this talk so that they will know that you sent me. What am I saying? Persuasion. He uttered out of what? Persuasion. This is what faith is. Listen to what I'm saying again. Real faith is that I have taken the book of information, or I have tuned my ears to the frequency of information from God. And everything I hear him say, and everything I read that he said, every single thing forms my new perspective concerning life, and I believe those words totally. And when I utter because I am persuaded. So Paul said, we are speaking. Go and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, just like the one that has a spirit of faith, I believed, therefore I did what? I spoke. I am not speaking because I am trying to believe. I'm not speaking because I'm trying to make something happen that I strongly desire, I am not sure of. I speak because I'm what? Persuaded. That's what faith is. I discovered, if you spend too much energy praying about something material, know for sure, hear ye the word of the Lord, you are not walking in faith, you are walking in unbelief. Because Jesus said something, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, every material thing will be added. Every single material thing will be added. I'm not saying you never ask for things. I said when you spend too much energy and you wake up in the morning and the thing will not come to pass except you focus on it and draw a diagram of it and put it on the wall and be calling it to be every morning. Every morning you are calling it. Listen, my brethren, I think you are out of faith. You are beginning to slip into spiritualism. That's why you hear people say that these are things that Muslims do and they get results. Have you heard that thing before? That's what I tell you, it's not faith. If it was faith, Muslims couldn't do it. Buddhists couldn't do it. Because faith has to do with the promises of God. They are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. Period. Therefore, if a Buddhist practices it and it gets results, that's spiritualism. It's not faith. If a Muslim does it and it gets results, it tells you spiritualism. It's not faith. The confusion in the life of believers is that we think spiritualism and spirituality are the same thing. They are not. So once you start bragging that even Muslims know these things. Let me say it again. I'm not saying they are evil. After all, Muslims know how to cook edika ekong, don't they? Muslims can make meat pie. They can make donuts. They can pound yam. They can make cars. They can fly airplanes. They are good things. If it is real faith, if you are not of faith in Christ Jesus, you can't tap into it. I'm bringing something in all of this as I'm saying. So let's talk about building strong faith. You know, that's where we started from. So when we're bringing strong faith, let's first know what is faith, Zef. He said, that brother just called that car to be Yegbe. My God, if my own faith can reach that level, I can have 3 cars now. You see, you know you're no longer walking by faith. Do you get what I'm saying? Because real faith has to do with drawing closer to God, entrenching yourself more in the will of God. And the more you entrench yourself inside the will of God, the less you are impressed by the fact that somebody called out material things. That's why when they told Jesus, call out bread, he said, that's not faith. I don't know where I get my point. If Satan came up to him, he said, are you not the son of God? He said, I am. Turn the stones to bread. He said, why should I do that? Real faith It's not that I demonstrate the fact that I know how to practice spiritualism, which is what Satan was telling him to do. He said, no. Real faith is that I understand that wherever I am, God has a word concerning my situation. Therefore, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's what real faith is. I hope you're getting my point. That's why it's possible, you know, if you don't, if the way we used to preach faith, we thought that a man couldn't die by faith. But Paul said it clearly in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, read very clearly that men laid down their heads by faith. That men rejected deliverance, that they might get a better resurrection. And they did it by faith. That means they died in faith. That is, they chose death as a result of their faith. When Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't out of desire. You saw it. You saw it. You've read it in the Bible. Was it out of desire? No. It was out of the sense of purpose. You know, last time I was talking about sowing into the Spirit. I talked about love. I said, let me talk about purpose. One of the fundamental things that makes our faith work strong in life is that knowledge of divine purpose. Listen, I am not saying you must know what God said you should go and do. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you should know that He has a purpose. Do you get my point? That's where we start from. Before we start discussing what is the purpose concerning my life specifically, we must just know that first of all, He has a purpose. Therefore, you don't just jump up and claim a visa by force. Do you understand what I mean? Just because you desire a better country, physically speaking. Just because you desire what Englishman calls a greener pasture. No. Before you do that, the first thing you first imagine in your mind, gosh, God must have a place where I'm supposed to be now. What I always preach against is when people think that greener pastures always means the will of God. You don't just resign a job and pick up another one all of a sudden because the pay is better. That's like you're not reasoning with purpose. I'm not saying you never resign jobs, ever say so. I'm not saying you never pick better jobs, ever say so, financially speaking now. No, I'm saying you don't do it, you know, rashly without any idea of it might be the will of God that I'm here. You don't just wake up and walk out into something that you think is better. I told you there was a time God kept me banking, jobless, materially speaking, physically speaking, that it might happen that one day everybody will gather and listen to me like you are listening now. And if you are listening on CD, that it will happen that somebody will sit down and listen to what I am saying. That it will happen that somebody will tune his TV in the morning on a Saturday and watch what I'm teaching. That it will happen that somebody will tune his radio and say, where is Pastor Banky since Cosmo FM went down? God says, so that may happen. Banky, I don't want to do any job for now. Then when I became too restless, he said, fine. I will give you a job only at night. Listen to me. Listen. I know what I'm telling you. The day I became restless, the next day I got that job. And no, listen to what I'm saying. I don't mean that after that things began to work. No. I mean, one night I went home, I laid and said, Lord, no, come on, I have to be doing something, I'm tired. Next day, I had not gone out. My friend, Augustine Wuto, he came down and says, I said, hey, we'll call him Paoto. I said, Paoto, what's happening? Come up. And I said, no, I'm in a hurry. Take this address down. He gave me the address. He said, go there, they need a doctor. Listen to me, my brethren, the next morning. When I got there, he said, sorry, we need doctors only for night duties. So I took a job working at night. That is, because okay, you listen, all right, no problem. We'll settle this way. I still won't give you a proper job because I need, and listen to me, I continue my lifestyle in that clinic. Not be night. Most of the time, I just sit down there, put tape in, they listen to messages. I still continue my lifestyle. During the day, I will sleep, wake up, continue the same lifestyle. Until the time that God said, fine, we have loaded enough. You cannot loot now, say, okay, come and start your postgraduate training. We now resumed. First week of January, 1995. Later, I was talking to my colleague, Dr. Daramola. He said, when you first came that time, you looked like, he said, you talked like you were fresh out of a Bible school. I didn't even realize it. Because as God is my witness, I had the scripture for every situation. No. You don't get what I'm saying. Somebody's purse may fall down and is bending to pick it up. I was saying, the Lord said, I have power to lay down. I have power to take it up. No, that was how I used to talk. No, listen. I had the scripture for every situation. Somebody may laugh. I said, why are you laughing like the Lord? He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. That's how I used to answer people. A man can be laughing. I'll say, your mouth is filled with laughter. What has the Lord done for you? We are your neighbor. We are saying it is of the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. That's how I used to respond to every single situation. I told you the day one lady saw me. I was sitting down. She turned to talk to me. So I just turned to talk to her. Her name is, what's her name? Linda Foss. I said, did I startle you? I said, startle me? Nothing is big enough to startle me. No, I said, did I scare you? I said, scare me? Nothing is big enough to scare me. That was the time I took a stick and I was walking like somebody said, duck at 60. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. Listen, I had this. There was no situation. I either had a direct scripture or had a quotation from the mouth of Bishop Oyedepo or Kennedy Hagee to end them. Every discussion. That was why Toladas, Dr. Amaru, looked at me one day and said, you looked like you were fresh out of a Bible school. God had a purpose for that time. It will have been utter foolishness of madness. So I went to say, I saw that job where they are paying so much money, hallelujah. And I began to call it. I called it. I began to call. And I was calling. After calling for 1 week, you see, if you call hard enough, God will tire and give you the job. And you lose the Congregation of Kingdom World Ministries. See, real faith is having a sense of what? Purpose. That's why we read Galatians, what they call it? Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's go back there. See what God said to Joshua. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with these people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. You shall give it to them as an inheritance. Let me ask you a question. Who is giving it to them as an inheritance? Who is giving it to them as an inheritance? Oh, you see, hey, I wanted to get to that level. Some said God, some said Joshua. Whichever one you said, you're correct. God is the one giving it to them. But God now turned around and said, Joshua, go and give it to them on my behalf. Whichever one you say, you're correct. What am I saying? Be strong and be courageous. It's for a purpose. What's that purpose? So that you can give it to them as an inheritance. I'm bringing an issue. As long as Joshua focuses on giving Israel a land as an inheritance, listen to me, courage will be thrown into him as a manifestation of the Spirit. That's what I'm preaching. Listen, courage will enter him. Joshua was not going to struggle to be courageous. Are you getting my point? Once he has a sense of purpose, courage. I've told this story before. A woman ran into a burning house 4 or 5 times because her children were inside. If there's anybody whining and grumbling about the country, he has no purpose. No sense of direction. He doesn't have anything he wants to achieve. This woman was burned severely. I don't know whether she finally survived the fire incident, but all her children survived. Her house caught fire. She ran outside. Saw she was the only one outside. She ran back inside. Found the first child. Ran outside. Heard another one cry. Ran back inside. Rescued all the children. She was getting burnt each time. And then she was through. She was thoroughly burnt. Lack of courage is lack of purpose. Any man, a woman is not going anywhere, not trying to achieve anything, can't take any challenge. I told you about a story I read long ago in Reader's Digest, so a few years ago. A man was called a hero. You know, Americans like to celebrate things like that. Hero, hero, hero. If you watch, in fact, there's CNN heroes. Heroes, heroes. He said he didn't understand why they called him a hero, because he did what to him was natural, responsible, common sense. They were in a plane crash. The plane crashed into a field, and good enough, they survived, but you had to evacuate quickly before it catches fire. So he ran outside. As he was about to step outside, he heard a baby cry. So to everybody's shock, everybody was running, he turned around and went back into a plane that was about to catch fire. In the darkness and the smoke and everything, he was fishing around for a baby. Finally got to where the baby was crying, losing the baby, cried the baby, and ran out of the plane. And they said, hero, hero. He said, what is hero in it? I heard the baby cry. You think I can walk away where a baby is crying? He didn't understand the heroism in what he did. Do you get the point I'm making? So where does courage come from? Not by waking up in the morning and saying, courage, boldness, I call you. That one on modern Pentecostal preaching and excitement. Courage comes from having a sense of purpose. Do you understand my point? If you know, I was born to help these people inherit the land, and you meditate on the book day and night. Listen, courage, strength, we enter into it. In fact, it is not because you are trying. Listen, a lot of stories you hear about in life, they are actually divine manifestations, but because the people didn't know God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you follow my point? Because they don't know God, they don't know how to explain it. Because the Holy Spirit does not only enter into believers. Unbelievers receive anointing, operate the Holy Spirit, the work of God, and then the Holy Spirit disappears again. You want to prove it to you? Many scriptures did now. My best is a donkey. If a donkey can receive the anointing, a human being that's an unbeliever can receive it. When Saul was walking in sin, he stumbled into the midst of prophets. What happened to him? He prophesied. What I'm saying is, a lot of things you see people do in life that are so heroic is the Holy Spirit entering into them to cause them to do those things at those moments. And what people don't realize is the Holy Spirit, because they don't understand how to acknowledge God. The truth is that the people did something and God poured the Spirit into them at that moment. Do you get my point? Like this woman I was telling you about, it's possible the Holy Spirit, no, these children are not going to die. So when the woman rushed against the fire and God saw her heart ready to face the fire for her children's sake, he poured the Spirit inside her. Which was what happened to David. Listen, normal teenagers don't kill lions. Did you hear what I said? You see, maybe you should watch National Geographic and they'll describe the size of a bear for you. You will know that David couldn't have killed that bear. It was God that killed the bear using the hand of David. When you describe an animal that's weighing maybe 500 kg. Hey, even lion they fear when bear they pass. If the lion is alone, they go look, say, why take the risk? I'm telling you, bear is massive an animal. And David went after it. All God wanted was a heart that wanted to go after it. Then the spirit of after it went into David. Strength entered his heart. No, listen. You don't run after a bear and just snatch food come off in hand. And you go late, you can't go like that. Say, okay, David, don't do it again. The next time, you go rough. No. What I'm trying to explain, I'm talking about seed, all right, and fruit. Seed and what? Fruit. What I'm making is that when we sow the right seeds, what's the right seed into the spirit? He said, he that sows to his flesh, we from that flesh reap what? Corruption. The last time I explained something, that once we are doing work, what I mean is this, we are outputting something into the lives of other people, that spiritual seed. When you have the right sense of purpose, and your life begins to face the direction of purpose, what you are doing is that you are putting seed into the ground. And that is what returns to you as courage. That's what returns to you as boldness. That's what returns to you as stronger faith. The reason why our faiths are not increasing as believers is because our faiths are turned around and facing us alone. Actually, we are our so-called faith is actually sowing to our own flesh. And all we are reaping from our flesh is corruption. How? Through discouragement. The hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. The more faith we exercise, the less we receive, the more we become discouraged. Eventually, we say, come on, that thing doesn't work like they said. Men who really believe, they never say something doesn't work like they said because they made a commitment to die for it if necessary. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. So they can't say that it doesn't. What? Like I told a story once that one day one of my chiefs saw me with the Bible and saw the way my life was. Say, you're a Christian. I said yes. He said, me too. I was at the time, but it was not worth it. I said, what was not worth what? That was the question I asked him. Chief, what was not worth what? That is, what is Christianity? What were you expecting? How were you disappointed? Are you getting my point? What is Christianity? Because I can't tell you it was not worth it. What have I lost? Please explain it to a small boy that he was when he was in school. What did he lose for Christ? A child can never tell you something was not worth it. What does he have? When your friends were womanizing, you couldn't. What is good about that? I don't understand for people. As far as I'm concerned, a man is supposed to make a woman happy. So why should I be chasing 20 people to make them happy? It's an investment. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So if God says, no, Banky, make one woman happy. I said, thank you. It's cheaper. You know, it's cheaper. How do they look my back when they walk out for road? Face front. So you tell me it wasn't worth it. What? No, please explain. What am I losing? I don't know what I get. I'm not explaining. I don't get the point. What is it that I am losing? He said, if not because you're a Christian, you could do like this and make money. You see, it's children. Solomon said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. So why should losing vanity be what will be something that I will be worried about? In my little life, I know enough to know money does not mean anything. The Frenchman has a saying, talking about women. He said, if you love many women, you've loved none at all. If you love one woman, you have loved them all. One woman. That's what the Frenchman said about women. And that's what Solomon said. I discovered that many women is what? Vanity upon vanity. I discovered that there's nothing better than for a man to rejoice with his wife of his youth. Solomon was not writing by faith. He was writing out of experience. I tell men, just read the life of Solomon. You won't live the rubbish life you are living. Because where Solomon reached, you will reach there too. You will discover that you are wasting time. You see, we can never prove Solomon wrong. If you say something is bad, eventually you discover. Look, Solomon was not being philosophical. He was not being religious. He was describing pure experience. And many men who have followed the path of Solomon have described exactly the same experiences. So when the man said it was not worth it, I asked him, please, what was not worth what? You are sowing seeds for your future, either good seeds or bad seeds. And God is giving you direction, the word of wisdom, concerning how to do that which is right. You are telling me it was not worth it. I can't get the point. What was not worth what? So I told him, I said, Chief, you never were a Christian. Yeah, that's the summary of it. You never were. You never were. You didn't understand the right thing. I'm bringing an issue. That's why people get disappointed, because they don't understand what real faith is. They told him all you need to do is, hey, Ishagababa, mololo, mululu, then you become a multimillionaire. The first they did, he said it didn't work. He said, no, you continue the confession. After 1 year of confessing, in mouth done, they changed contour. The guy said, this was it's not worth it. Do you understand my point? That's why it was not worth it now. That's why it wasn't worth it. So for all this sacrifice I've made, so that God can give me something, he didn't give me anything. That's why he's saying, no, really, that's the reason. That's why he's shouting, he was not worth it. This is the point I'm making. A sense of purpose is a seed into the realm of the spirit. When we are doing things, we have a knowledge. that God has a plan for our lives. And when we give our lives to Christ, now we're talking faith basics. These are the fundamental things that every believer should know. When you give your life to Christ, what you did was to start accepting, finally, the will that God has for your life. And attaching yourself to the will of God for your life is what real faith is. Do you get my point? That is what real faith is. Faith is not how to get what I want. No. Faith is how to discover what he has given, that I might receive that which he has given. By faith, we discover those things that he has given to us, and he said they are our own. Those are the things we receive. We don't, by faith, enter into competition. Do you get my point? Because I've said this several times. You know, there are times, look, about ministry, I told you before. Listen. I like to add this because somebody may be in ministry and listen to our messages, okay? Or planning for it. You have to know what is ministry. What I mean is this. I've been to churches. You say, oh, these people, they have a hall that can seat 25,000 people and they have 4 services. I said, that is nice. Do you know, I have never prayed to God about it. And let me tell you the truth. It's not necessarily a prayer. It's not. Now, this is banking. Now, you know, my reason is not because it's a bad thing. Did I say that? It's not a bad thing. I just know that as of today, this is 2010. I don't know about 2025. In 2025, either I backslide or I get a new direction. What I'm saying is, if you see me start shouting, praise the Lord, God is moving, now we are 500,000. Just know, is that because of backsliding? Or because I now have a new vision. You can't tell which one. A lot of people you are following, they missed the road long ago. You hear what I said? A lot of people that men are celebrating, they missed the road long ago. What happened was after they missed the road, they began to become rich. After they missed the road, they began to gather a large congregation. After they missed the road, their suits got finer. After they missed the road, they began to speak smoothly. After they missed the road, they began to be known everywhere. So men began to celebrate. And God said, look at them. They are following a man that's not going anywhere anymore. That's why I added that one to it. But for my life, as of today, I'm so focused on teaching the body of Christ, Christians everywhere, the word of God. Do you get my point? That I'm not impressed by a man gathers 500,000 people in one service. Not because it's bad, but it just doesn't mind the sense of purpose for me. Do you get my point? It doesn't work like that. What tickles me, what excites me, is that our books are moving. Do you get my point? Because it tells me more people are reading. What excites me is that we have more CDs out. I went to Nsukka last week. Actually, it was this week. It was Sunday. Yes, Sunday. Today is Saturday. And one young man, he said, how is Deji, your brother? And I looked like, first one was like, you know him? He said, I have heard all your messages. Any name you mention, I know the best. I'm serious. He said he has a stack of MP3s. His computer is full of them. He literally had, that is, let me tell you how much he had listened to me to excite you. When I got there to preach, let me tell you from what, after he told me. So let me not give you how I got to find out. Let me just say the summary of it. He walked into the hall where I was going to preach. And he told them, you guys pull that pulpit over there. Pastor Banky won't stay there. Bring it down here. This is where he's going to preach from. So they didn't believe him. So he sat down. I didn't know him. I didn't know anything. I just walked in. He said, let's welcome to the microphone. I said, why is that pulpit there? Bring it down here. He started laughing where he was sitting now. We had never met. Listen, we had never met. He said, he told them, the man you people are waiting for will not climb that place to go and preach from. Bring that thing, because the hall was very big, and they put the pulpit on a particular platform, a bit out of reach. So meanwhile, they had been doing everything from this zone. So when it was time for the Michael Jackson to arrive, you know what I mean? They now went and put him on the stage. So I looked at him and I said, you know me, I know the... I'm not a very serious man of God. When I get to be, I don't do praise the Lord. Shema, momo, libra, baba, ma. No. I just say, hey, what's going on? Who put that in for there? Come on, bring her. Come put that for here. Everyone's there laughing. The guy told me at the end of the day that he has said it beforehand, that this guy ain't going to climb that place. How did he know? He said he had heard me so much. Once he saw that platform, he said, this guy ain't climbing that place. That is, he said, how's your brother? How's Deji? Your brother? I said, he said, I know him, sir. Everything I said, the guy had listened to everything. These are the kind of people that make me happy to remain in ministry. Are you getting my point? You saw today, they said I should take questions. I said, no, I don't have time, I'm going. They said, please, answer this boy's question. I called the boy, how old are you? He said, I will be 12 this year. That's what that boy told me. He said, sir, you said that the devil can't force anybody to do anything. What about God? Why does he not? This boy was asked. This Jonathan was there. Jonathan was standing there like this looking. A 12-year-old boy. He was the only person. They said, answer a question. I said, no, please, I'm free, 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 I'm going. They said, please, sir. So I said, is he the one? I said, let him see me personally. So he followed me out of the hall. I said, what's your question? I stood there and I broke it down for him properly. Do you understand? He said, yes. Any other question? He said, no, sir. God bless you, you can go. 12. If you like, gather a congregation of 5 million people. I will abandon you, your 5 million adults, to go and talk to that single 12-year-old boy. I will. Jonathan, you know Tunde and the other girl? I went to preach on the church 2 weeks ago. It was last week or 2 weeks ago. Before, when I see children, I'm still really excited. But my experience the last few weeks, if you said that they are doing a crusade in primary school, I go, go. No, my experience the last 2 weeks. And like Jonathan said, God, there's a kind of anointing. Once I get to where children, young people are very young, a different anointing enters my head. When I went on nature, when I saw this boy and his friend. No, not boy I've been entertained. You will talk, there's one girl, the girl was looking at me as if she was going to pass through my eyes into my brain, collect all the doctrine, swallow it, and go back to her seat. I look, those two children would not be more than 15. 14, 15, that would be their age. There were three of them, Tunde, his friend, and this other girl. I know, because Tunde, there's a reason why I know his name, and that after he came to talk to me also. And when I look at it, these are the people who are coming to hear the word of God. Listen, the 1 million man congregation doesn't move me. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, it does not move me. I'm just so concerned about the word of God pouring into people's lives. Recently I told myself, for those of you who are interested, please pray with me. Let's get back on radio. You know why? I don't know, say I get congregation. Do you know what it's called? Congregation. People that feed on this word. That is, the woman I told that came to see me last week, actually earlier this week, she said, after I heard your messages, I began to live. You hear what I said? She said, I began to live. I wasn't living before. She told me all the experience and everything. She said, but after I heard those words, I began to live. Therefore, listen, I don't get time for choir. I'm not saying choir is bad, but I'm just impatient. What burns in my heart? I'm talking about sense of purpose. So they say, there's no light in Nigeria. What's in concern light? Concern light in Nigeria when Mungo Park they ride over the Niger. When those men came to Africa, was there light? What's the name of the other one? The missionary to Africa, that celebrated one. Yes, David Livingston. The man will sit down and say, when he will be back home in England, and say the smoke from 1,000 African villages are burning holes in my heart. He couldn't stay. Listen, when he arrived, lion removed his hand. Do you get my point? A lion attacked him, virtually ripped his hand out of the socket. The hand became withered. Yet the man said, the smoke from 1,000 African villages, because late in the evening, in the jungle, you'll be seeing the smoke rising from different areas, knowing that each one represented one village. each one represented one village. So when he'll get back home to England, the man won't be able to sleep. He will take the sheep again and he's back. Why? Because God had commissioned that he should go and make these people inherit the land. You know, like Joshua. You are getting what I'm saying? That's what real faith is. I'm not, like one man said, I'm not analyzing his life in details. I don't know much about it. But for a man to leave the comfort of England of those days and come to Africa, just preaching this gospel of Christ, that's what faith is. Our only faith is, praise God. And now I drive a Lincoln Navigator. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, it shows that God is good. And I drive this in the presence of an unbeliever, he will believe. What if a cocaine man drives in front of him? If it's the size of your car that's now preaching the gospel, how rubbish is that? To drive in front of an unbeliever, he will know that my God is good. That's why he will give his life to Christ and he won't repent. Because you called him to life of chop chop. Don't take any hardship. Don't take any hardship. I'm not saying God doesn't give Lamborghinis. That is no, believe me, God gives them. No, listen, when God gives me money, maybe I'll buy one. You get my point? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But that's not faith. Do you get my point? Those are blessings. It's okay. But that's not what? Faith. Those are blessings. That's not what? Faith. It's not faith. You know why I say it's blessings, not faith? It didn't say the blessing of God is riches. It didn't say so. The blessing of God makes rich. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why people say that, John the Baptist was not walking in knowledge. If he understood the knowledge of God, he would have spoken and he would have been silk, would have been wearing and not locusts and white honey. You know, when children are preaching, you know, I told you that the problem we have today in Christianity is boys are the one preaching, men are not preaching. And no, it's true. No, listen, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Paul said, if you can read in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that when you should have been teachers, you still have need that somebody should teach you. What we have right now is that when you should be learning, you have now become a teacher. That is a day. That is a problem in Christianity. Our life of faith, our life of pleasing God, our life of walking in great faith, talking about how to increase our faith, is it will come to us as we sow the right small seeds. Last time I began to talk briefly about love, but I dropped that and let me explain the issue of purpose. And I brought the issue of, Joshua as our example. That courage and strength flows into the life of Joshua once he understands that he has been created to make these people inherit the land. Are you getting my point? And that once we have a sense of purpose, a sense of God's ownership over our lives, and we start walking like that in small things, then great things will begin to happen in our lives. Listen, everything we said that God will do in your life will take great faith to bring them down. Are you getting my point? But that great faith does not come by striving and struggling. It comes by knowing the right things and making right choices at points, various points in life. And then God pours the matter of greater faith into your life. I discussed that in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. And my good example, which was when God gave me that understanding, I began to write the book, was that woman, widow of Zarephath. I said that what if Elijah was lying? Do you get my point? We never thought about a lot of us. A stranger gets to your door and says that, yeah, give me your last meal, for it will never finish. Listen, if you believe him, you're either entirely stupid or you're entirely full of faith. It's one of the two. The question is, how do you know which one you are? And I give an answer in the book, and it's among the things we're talking about. All right? In that book, I said a number of things. One of them, I said, for her, it didn't matter. One thing was sure, prophet or not, he was hungry. That was certain. Prophet or no prophet, he was a hungry man. So if I gave him food and it doesn't multiply, at least I fed the hungry man in the process. And when a woman walks in love like that, God pours the real faith into her. The real faith, God pours it into her. If you walk with purpose in life, all those great challenges and problems of life, you'll be amazed. God will pour such great faith into you, you will download things far bigger than your imagination. Don't worry about it. I hope you've gotten the point I've made today.